Let's just commit our time, please, to the Lord in a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to Thee this morning, and through the Saviour's precious and all-worthy name, O God, we thank Thee for Your goodness that finds us in the house of God today. And Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll do our hearts good. We pray, Lord, You'll help us in this service of worship to glorify and magnify Thy name. So be with us, give us help now. In the Saviour's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Our opening hymn of praise is the words of hymn number 93 in our books. The words will be on the screen. I cannot tell why he whom angels worship should set his love upon the sons of men. We'll stand together after we get the introduction and sing this opening hymn, please.
Set his love upon the sons of men.
Let us come before the Lord again, please, in a word of prayer, and let's seek for his help and for his presence with us this morning. Let's all pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we come to thee this morning. We have to acknowledge, O God, that it is a mystery. Lord, we cannot tell why you should set your love upon us. Lord, we cannot tell today why those who are redeemed are the children of God. Lord, when we consider what we wear in our sin, we consider just, Lord, how wretched and vile we were. And yet, O God, we thank thee that God sent his Son into this world to be our Savior. We thank thee, Lord, today for the privilege, the standing that is ours in Christ. O God, we thank thee this morning that we are the redeemed of God. We have this tremendous privilege of coming before thee, addressing thee as our Father. And, O God, we acknowledge that as we do so, the only way we can is through all the merits, the blood shedding, the finished work of Christ there on the cross. We thank thee, O God, for our Savior. We thank thee, O God, for the one who loved us, the one who gave himself for us. We thank thee, Lord, for the one who on Calvary's cross died that we might live. We thank thee, Lord, that the one who came as a little babe in Bethlehem's manger went to a cross there to bleed and die that we might be redeemed and brought to God. And our Father, we pray that you'll do all of our hearts good this morning. We ask, O God, that as we would come to worship thee, may we never lose the wonder of what it is to be the children of God. Lord, we pray that today you'll bless this service. We ask, O God, that you'll come and be one of our number. Lord, how much we need thee. Lord, we pray that you'll remove every distracting thought. And Lord, for this time, may we know what it is to be shut in with God. Heavenly Father, we cry unto thee for that sense of God, the Holy Spirit. Lord, we just pray that today you'll come. And Lord, that this day we'll know what it is to hear the voice of the Lord. Lord, we'll know what it is to feel the presence of the Lord. We need thee today. Oh God, we pray that you'll come. Help us, aid us in our worship. Our Father, we pray that you'll bless all who have gathered in the house of God this morning. We thank thee for your goodness, for your mercy. We thank thee, Lord, for the health and the strength you've given to us to be in God's house. And our Father, we pray that as we come today, may our hearts be thrilled. Lord, we pray that even as this Christmas time, Lord, as we consider the Christ who came, may we remember that it was for me, yes, all for me. Our Father, we pray that you'll remember, Lord, especially today, our brother Adam, Lord, to give him help as he would minister to us. Lord, as you have given him help in the preparation and in the study, we ask, O God, that now you'll give him help as he would seek to proclaim and preach the word that thou hast given to him. Lord, we pray that you'll fill him with the Holy Ghost, fill him with power, touch his lips with that live coal from off the altar. Lord, we pray that as, Lord, you would speak to him, Lord, now speak through him, we pray. And Heavenly Father, we pray that our hearts will be opened, receptive and ready to hear what God the Lord would say to us. Father, we pray that we might not only hear the word today, oh God, how easy it is to hear that word. But Lord, how different it is to heed the word and to do the word. Our Father, we pray that we might be hearers and, Lord, that we'll be doers of the word as well. Our Father, we pray that you'll bless today those who need our prayers in a particular way. Remember, O Lord, those who are unwell at this time, touch them in their bodies. Strengthen them, O God, we pray. Lay your healing hand upon them. And Lord, that very soon they'll be restored back to that better measure of health and strength once again. Remember, Lord, the cold and the careless today. Remember, Lord, those who have no desire after thee. Lord, we pray that today you'll come. And Lord, burn within hearts, Lord, that desire after God. Heavenly Father, we pray that today you'll bring the wanderers back, bring the prodigals back to the Father's house. We pray, Lord, you'll bless the going forth of thy word across our land and across our nation. Remember, Lord, every nation of the world today, wherever the gospel is going forth, whatever language it may be going forth in, we pray through God it's still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Lord, we pray that you'll come, and revive us in the midst of the years. Lord, we pray that you'll cause us to awake. Lord, that we might see the great need that there is around us. Give us a burden, we pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we come to the end of another year, as we thank thee for your mercies and for your goodness, we thank thee, Lord, for your blessings. But, O God, we look to thee for the year, Lord, that lies before us in thy will. Help us to see, Lord, times of greater blessing, days of the right hand of God. Lord, we pray you'll answer prayer for us. Be with us now, aid us, and help us, Lord, today. Through everything, may thy name and thy name alone be glorified and honored. So be with us and give us help. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. At this stage, I want to welcome you all along this morning to our morning worship service. We're glad to see you in the house of the Lord. And thank you for being with us this morning. To those who are watching online as well, we welcome you in the Savior's name. Just want to bring before you some announcements very quickly before we sing another hymn and then hand over to our brother Adam. I want to thank Adam this morning for coming and for preparing, and we look forward to what the Lord would have to say to us through him today. And we pray the Lord will bless him and use him even amongst us this morning. But do remember, we have the meeting again tonight, and so we encourage you to come again 6:30 for our gospel service. That will be the last gospel service of the old year. We encourage you to come back again. And for those perhaps watching online, we'd love to see you in God's house tonight, 6:30 for the final gospel service of 2021. The Reverend David Crane will be here to testify, take the meeting tonight, and so we ask you to come and encourage God's servant as he comes and relates to us how the Lord has saved him and what the Lord has been doing for him. And do remember that meeting tonight. Why not even invite someone along? Perhaps you have family over this afternoon. Well, bring them along as well to the meeting tonight, 6:30 for that gospel meeting. No other meetings throughout the week in the church here apart from Friday night. We're combining the Thursday night with our watch night service and making it an end of year service. And that will be at the earlier time of 6:30. That's this Friday night, 6:30 for that special end of year service. And we encourage you to come, bring your children, bring your family, bring others with you for that special time. There'll be singing and there'll also be a time of open testimony. And when you'll be able to tell just briefly as to how the Lord has helped you throughout the year. So remember that Friday, 6:30 for that special end of year service. The next Lord's Day, no Sunday school or Bible class next Sunday either, but there is the morning service at 11:30, and God willing, I'll be preaching on our motto text for 2022 next Sunday morning, and then our gospel service at 6:30 next Sunday evening. I'm going to be speaking on the subject of have you got the right passport? And you'll probably know where I'm going with that, but we're going to ask that question in the gospel for our first gospel service, God willing, of the new year. Have you the right passport? A few others will be taking part as well next Sunday evening. Aaron was to testify last Sunday, but he wasn't able to do that, so he's going to testify, Aaron McVeigh, on next Sunday evening, and also our brother Stephen Greer will be here to sing. So you may get a plan to be with us for the first Lord's Day of the new year. Just one other special announcement I want to bring to your attention, and that is the special seasons of prayer that we're having at the start of the year. We commence them on Sunday the 9th of January. Just after the gospel service, we'll have the first of our seasons of prayer for the new year. That's Sunday the 9th of January, just after the gospel service. We'll wait behind for a little time. And then on Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday of that week, that's Tuesday the 11th, Wednesday the 12th and Thursday the 13th, we'll have those special seasons of prayer as we lay before the Lord the need of the work of God here in Sandown and look to him for his blessing. So plan to be with us, plan to keep those nights free, and plan to be here for those seasons of prayer. Can I thank you for your offering for the Emmanuel Christian School in Uganda, both on Thursday night and also yesterday, which I forgot to announce yesterday, but You didn't forget about it. The total offering came to £1,165, and that is tremendous giving, and that is very encouraging. And thank you for your giving to the Emmanuel Christian School and the work there in Uganda. If you still would like to support that, then please do see Richard, and he'll be only too happy to help you with that. We're going to sing another hymn together before our brother Adam comes and brings God's word to us this morning. This is one of our new carols that we've been learning over the month of December. Sing we the song of Emmanuel, this the Christ who was long foretold. We'll stand together as we sing this, please. I've said I want to thank Adam for coming and speaking for us this morning. Really do appreciate his help. Pray the Lord will bless him as he comes now, reads the scriptures to us, and brings the word of God to us for this morning. Thank you, Adam.
This morning in the Bible to the book of Joshua in the Old Testament, book of Joshua. And can I just thank Mr. Wilson this morning for asking me to come along and to preach the Word of God. It's always a privilege to come and to preach. The book of Joshua, we're going to read two passages from this book this morning, but we're going to start in Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3, and we're going to read from the verse number 9. Joshua chapter 3, and we'll begin our reading at the verse number 9. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, Come hither, and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come on to Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap, very far from the city Adam that is beside Saridon, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Then we'll read also into Joshua chapter 4, and we'll begin a reading at verse 4 of Joshua chapter 4. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? That ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. And we know that God will bless the reading of his word this morning. Can we just bow again in a word of prayer as we come to God's message this morning? Let's just pray. Our dear God and our heavenly Father, we thank thee for this time where we can come into thy house. Lord, we thank thee for this thy day where we can come and we can worship thy name. Lord, we thank thee for thy presence already with us this morning. Lord, we thank thee for every aspect. We thank thee for the open book this morning. Lord, we thank thee for the great privilege that we have thy own word in our own mother language. Lord, we just pray as we would come to thy word this morning that you would be pleased to speak through me. Lord, use me, fill me with thyself. O Lord, speak to every waiting heart. Lord, we pray for a word in season to every heart, to saint and to sinner. Lord, come and do us good today, and we pray that everything would be said and done would go down to the honor and to the glory of thy great and thy wondrous name. So continue with us now, for we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Christmas Day is finally over, and another manic time of present buying and celebrating is now coming to an end. I'm sure there are many this morning gathered in church that are weary after a long day of celebrating. And today we find ourselves in what the world calls Boxing Day. And maybe there are some even this morning that are looking forward to that time when they can pack up the Christmas decorations for another year. But more importantly this morning, more than any man-made event, we find ourselves in the final Lord's Day of 2021. As this week begins, many people will be counting down the days of this old year as they look to the beginning of 2022. And as we think of that time of the new year, often that's a time when we begin to reflect on the past 12 months and how God has been with us. We look back at those moments in 2021, the ups and downs that we have faced. And normally at the new year, it's a time of reflection. But at the new year, there's also expectation, because many begin to look forward towards what the new year might hold, towards what might be different, and maybe they're filled with hope that things may be better for them in the years that is to come. I'm sure as we reflect on this year that we have all faced personal trials and personal struggles. There have been many things that have happened this year which we have never seen taking place in our lifetime. And no doubt with all of these changes, these uncertainties, we have faced many obstacles throughout this year. Whether that be within our family home, in our places of employment, our businesses, maybe a personal battle with our health. There have been moments that have tested our faith throughout this year. And here where we have read this morning in the book of Joshua, we read of a time when God's people, they also faced a great barrier, a great difficulty in their life. For Joshua personally, it was a great burden upon his shoulders. You see, Moses had now died, and Joshua was commanded by the Lord that he was the one that was to see the people into the promised land. However, this passage this morning, it shows us that things weren't going to be exactly straightforward for the people. God saw it needful to test their faith before he blessed them. And often that is how it works in our lives. God has to break us before he can bless us. And we can have things planned out of how we would like them to go, and we can have everything ready and in the calendars. And then all of a sudden, God can allow some obstacle to hinder us and to put us off course. But why would God allow that to happen? We can often ask that. Why would God allow such a thing to happen? But the Bible reminds us that God's ways, yes, they might not be our ways, but they are far better and they are far higher than our own. So this morning we're going to look at these chapters, and we're going to look at the subject of past blessings and future promises. There's three points that we're going to consider. And the first point is the problem that was encountered. See, here in Joshua 3, the children of Israel were now entering the land of Canaan. The promised land was now in sight. And after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, surely they weren't going to be hindered any further into getting into Canaan. But here we read that again there was another challenge to face, and that was the River Jordan. I was researching some information about the River Jordan. Perhaps some have even been in the congregation to Israel and seen River Jordan in person. But for those of us who haven't, I think these facts can aid our understanding of the size of the difficulty that the Israelites faced. Now, the River Jordan is about 155 miles in length. That's about from the north coast to Dublin. And it's also one of the few rivers in Israel that never dries up, and it's constantly in flow all the year round. You know, the Bible shows us the great challenge of Jordan itself at the end of verse 15 in Joshua 3, because it says, "For Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest." And these words, they show us the great size of the obstacle that the people faced. It wasn't simply a small stream or a small brook that the people could cross over. Instead, it was the great River Jordan. And therefore, we can say that this river, it presented a problem to the people. It stalled them in their journey from entering into Canaan. And God was again testing the resolve of his people's faith. Notice the words at the end of verse 15. It says, "For Jordan overfloweth." That word overfloweth, it literally means that the water was in abundance. There was a great surge of water that flowed. And that timing is not coincidental. God planned it that the people would reach Jordan when it was at its strongest. And often God has to challenge us with strong trials, but that is when our faith is most tested. You know, I think there's three things that we can learn from this problem that the people encountered. First of all, I think that we can learn that we should expect to face trials in our own lives. You know, the Bible makes it clear that the life of the Christian is not always going to be easy. You think of the many trials that some of God's servants had to face in Scripture. Abel faithfully served God, yet he was killed at the hands of his own brother. Joseph lived a life of faith unto God, yet he was despised. He was hated by his brothers, sold as a slave into Egypt. Moses himself, he reached points of great depression where he believed he couldn't lead the people any further. And all of these people knew what it was to face times of difficulty, and we can all face personal trials as well. Remember when I mentioned those names, we're talking about some of the best Old Testament prophets. Yet, like us, they were only human. And the arm of flesh at times failed them, and the arm of flesh will also fail us. Perhaps today you are facing a trial, and nobody else knows about it. Maybe it's something very deep and very personal. Remember this morning that the Lord knows about you, and he sees what you're going through. Yes, trials are to be expected, but remember they are never permanent. For Joshua and the people, yes, they faced Jordan, but this situation, it was only temporary. They weren't going to face this difficulty alone because they had confidence knowing that God was going to be with them. And whenever we face trials, we can have confidence as his children to know that God will bring us through. So we can learn that we are to expect to face trials. Well, secondly, we can also learn that we can't overcome these trials by ourselves. That's a very important point to always keep in mind. Remember how the Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." He didn't say he could do everything in and of his own strength. No, not at all. Instead, it was through Christ. It was in Christ. And you know, if we take Christ out of that verse, then we can say Paul had no strength. And spiritually, without God today, we have no strength. Spiritually, we are weak without Christ. And no matter how confident we might be in our own ability, our best efforts are always sure to fall short. Joshua himself, he realized that great truth. Joshua was humble, and he was aware of his own inability. No matter how much he tried to scheme or plan a way across Jordan, he knew that it would never work. He knew that any tactic would sure to be proved futile. But notice the dependence upon God that Joshua and the people had. Look at the start of verse 9 in Joshua 3. "Because Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God." Joshua took time to hear the voice of the Lord. And that is what we must do as well. We need to take time to hear the voice, not of man, but of the Lord. We need to realize that, yes, we need help today, but then we are to go to God for that help. We are to look to him, pray on to him that he would help us as we face our obstacles in life. Our perspective, it must always be on the spiritual and not on the earthly or the temporal. And when prayer is offered on to God, when we look on to him, then we can be sure that we will find strength and we will find help. Yes, they faced difficulties. Yes, they faced distresses. But all of those problems were outweighed by the goodness and the grace of God. We can also notice, thirdly, in this problem that God has a purpose in our trials. There's always a reason for everything that you go through. And we believe in the perfection of the will of God for our lives. And so often things can be unclear. We can question why God would allow certain things to happen, but we know that one day his plan will be revealed unto us. And we understand that God has a reason for everything. Again, our minds are drawn to that great verse in Romans 8:28, so well known, yet such precious words, that we know that all things work together for good. Every single thing works together for good. You know, our own minister spoke a few Lord's days ago on the character of Job. Job, in him we see a man that was mightily blessed by the Lord, a man of great authority, great position in his land, yet a man that lost everything that he had. There were low moments in the life of Job, times when he prayed even that his life would be taken away from him. Such was the difficulties that he faced. Yet by his faith and by his patience, God blessed him. We are unable to discern the will of God, and I would not urge you to try and understand the mind of God. It is something that we will never be able to do, but we live by faith. And we must live with this truth in our hearts that God is working for us. He is not working against us. And the trial of our faith, when we face those difficulties, often in our eyes we will realize that it is at those times that the Lord draws especially near. See, the River Jordan here, it was the obstacle that faced the people. But it was also that same obstacle that got them into the promised land. It was a blessing in disguise. And it may have seemed it was to stop them in their journey, but the reality is, as we know, that it was the way that God would use in order to complete their journey. Charles Spurgeon said that trials teach us what we are. They dig up the soil and they let us see what we are made of. And trials, they test our faith, but they also bring us great spiritual strength as we learn to live and rely on God. So that is the problem that was encountered in this passage. But second of all, this morning, we noticed the provision that was made. Whilst we learn of this problem, we also read in the closing verses of chapter 3 that God didn't leave Joshua and the people to face this challenge alone. He had promised that he would be with them, and now we see that God works according to his word. Notice how in this provision there was a parting, because look at verse number 16 of Joshua 3, because we read that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap. And then at the end of the verse, you read that they came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, they failed and they were cut off. So there was a parting of the water. When we think of the parting of the water, perhaps we think of the Red Sea out of Egypt, but here's another time when God parted a body of water. And of course, that is completely supernatural. This is something man could never do this. Yet God, as the creator, as the sustainer, he controls everything that is in the earth. And the water simply obeyed the voice of the Lord. That reminds us of the almighty power that God has today. You know, I feel like today we can all be guilty of minimizing God's power or limiting God to a certain amount of power. And we can get caught up in looking around us at the spiritual coldness, the spiritual decline in our land, even from previous years. And sadly, we can become accustomed to it all. And we can think this is the way that it's going to be in the years to come. I pray that through those words this morning, that God would show us his power, that he is able, that today we would cry from our hearts, "The Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth." We serve the same God today that helped Joshua and the people. Today, God can do a mighty work amongst us in this land and in this nation. There was a parting, but there was also a promise. Because look at verse number 5 in Joshua 3. Verse number 5 in Joshua 3. The closing words say, "Tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." There was an expectation from the people that God was going to work. This wasn't a mere hope that God might work. God could work if he wants to. No, it was God will do wonders. It was certain. The people expected God to work. Maybe there's someone listening this morning and you've been facing a problem throughout this year, and maybe it's gone on longer than you ever expected that it would. You think maybe it's a problem that's too big for God to solve, and it's still with you today. Today, take God at his word. Stand upon his promises and look to him with faith that he can do a wonder for you. May, as we embark in a new year, in the days to come, may we as a church, as a congregation, share this vision that tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among us. The Lord can do wonders for Sandown. The Lord can do wonders for his people. And the Lord can do a wonder in this land. Do we believe it today? I pray that we would hold God to his word. There was a parting, there was a promise, but then there was the proof of God's word. We saw that God, yes, he parted the water in verse 16, but in verse 17 of Joshua 3, notice something further, because we read that the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, they stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. The Lord worked according to his word. And today we can depend upon the Lord. You know, we hear so many words of man today. Man has so much confusion, so much changing words and contradicting words. Yet today with the Bible, we have a word that is dependable, a word that is reliable, and we can stake our whole eternity on the word of God because we know that it is true. And therefore, we can give thanks unto the Lord for all of his promises. Notice how God worked in this verse. You know, we notice that the priests were the first to go into Jordan. They went before the people carrying the Ark of the Covenant, and that was of great significance. Of course, we know the Ark in the Old Testament. It was the symbol of God's presence and God's holiness onto the people. Among the items inside the Ark of the Covenant, it would have been the two tablets of stone, the Ten Commandments that were received on Mount Sinai, and therefore it would have served as a reminder to the people that they were to live holy lives before the Lord. And the act of the priests going before the people first into Jordan, it shows us how God goes before us in every step of our lives. You know, we read in Isaiah how the Lord says unto us, "I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight." God is the one that, yes, has planned everything, but he is also the one that guides us through our life. And today, we may take steps of faith, trusting in God. That is what the people did. They took a step in faith. And when we do that in our lives, be sure that the Lord will bless us and he will undertake for us. God undertook for the people in an extraordinary way. In verse 17, it says, they stood firm in dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And that those words, stood firm, literally means they were unmovable, they were unshakable. And they were in the midst of Jordan. It was the deepest part of the river. Such was their faith and their trust in the Lord that they were rewarded for their faith. It was also dry ground that they stood on. Not only were the waters parted, but the very earth beneath their feet was dried up. Such was the power of God and his control over all things. You know, my mind was drawn to that great verse in Isaiah 43, in the verse 2, which says, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee." Do we not see those words in action here this morning? Where the situation seemed humanly impossible, God made it possible. And notice how we read at the end of verse 17 that all the people were passed clean over Jordan. God withheld the current until each and every one of those Israelites crossed over Jordan. That reminds us of God's care for us as individuals. As we gather here this morning as a body in Christ and as a group of believers, of course the Lord has an interest in us. But more importantly, and far above that, God has a love that reaches us personally and touches us in our individual lives. In life, you will encounter your own Jordans. The trials that you will face will differ from the ones that I will have to face. Yet what doesn't change for all of us is that God's grace is sufficient. Sufficient for me, sufficient for you in your time of need. Therefore, remember that God has brought you to this point this morning, and that he will continue to guide you and provide for you in the days that lie ahead. We've seen the problem that was encountered and the provision that was made. But thirdly and finally this morning, we see the praise that was offered. As we read in chapter 4 of Joshua, we read of how Joshua now instructs the people to do something very important. God commanded that they were to gather these 12 stones from the river and set them up as a memorial. And we read in verse 9 of Joshua 4 that Joshua set up the 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. Why is this so important? Well, it shows us that the people recognized the Lord's blessing in their lives. In this act, we see the people giving thanks unto the Lord. They reflected, they looked back at how the Lord got them through their problem. That reminds us of the great priority we must have in our lives to remember God's goodness for us. And when we think of that, we are to be thankful. We are to give praise unto the Lord. I wonder this morning, did you give thanks unto the Lord? I wonder, have you thanked the Lord this morning that you have health and strength? That this morning you can be found in his house praising his name? Well, the Lord has blessed us mightily in these days. I pray that we would have thanks and give thanks that the Lord is worthy of. The children of Israel here, they could have easily continued in their journey. There was many battles to face. There was much service to be done for the Lord. Yet they realized how important it was to stop, to draw aside, to consider the Lord. So often we can be caught up in the busyness of our lives and all the things that we have to do on a day-to-day basis. And yes, we can forget the hand of the Lord upon us. I pray today that we would stop, that we would consider Christ. And when we take time to consider the Lord, there are benefits that we can receive from that. Notice that there were two benefits here that the people received because of this. First of all, there was comfort from the past. We can have a comfort today because we know that God has worked according to his word. You read the Bible, you find a promise that God makes. Hold him to it. Hold the Lord to his word. If you're saved today, you have comfort, you have peace. And you should always remember to be thankful unto him, most importantly because God has made a way in salvation. We should be full of joy. We should be full of praise today because we are saved. And we think especially at this time of year how Christ came into this world, how he took on flesh. Yet we're also thankful for the love of Christ, for the humility of Christ, that he went to the cross, he suffered, he died in my place, he died in your place for you. Christ has made a way for us in salvation, all because of his love and because of his mercy. As we look back on this year, as we consider all the events that have taken place Think to those moments where you saw no way forward. Think to those moments where you believed you would not get through the problem that you faced. Did God not help you? Today, each and every one of us here, we are living proof that God's grace is sufficient. The Lord has brought us to this point today, and it is all because of his grace alone. And today I echo those words of Paul to the church in Philippi, where he said, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. Today, be comforted by those past situations, how the Lord has got you through. But the other benefit we can receive is not only comfort from the past, but then confidence for the future. The fact that God has worked in the past, it should give us hope and faith for the days that lie ahead. And we can be sure that the Lord will help us as he has in those times that have passed. As we soon enter a new year, we must realize that we do not know what the future holds for us. We can't guarantee ourselves tomorrow, but challenges will be inevitable. They might change, yes, in their form and in their format, but our faith is sure to be tested. And whilst there is so much uncertainty in these days about what lies ahead, one thing we can be certain of is that our God does not change. Remember the Bible, it tells us that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In the past, God was able to meet our need. In the present today, God is still able to meet our need. And in the future, God will be able to meet our need. Do we believe that today? Is that truth in our hearts? For Joshua, for the people, there will be much challenges to face them as they entered into Canaan. There will be many enemies, many battles to fight in order to conquer the territories and the land. Yet the people went forward in the strength of the Lord. And we know that the Lord wrought a mighty work through his people. Today, he is not a disappointment. He is all in all to me. Savior, sanctifier, sovereign, the unchanging Christ is he. What a Savior we serve today. And remember that the greatest confidence we can have is not in this world, but it is in the world that is to come. It is in that glorious hope that awaits us all as those who are saved. You know, in many ways, the River Jordan, it represents the way of death in Scripture. That moment where we finally reach the end of our earthly pilgrimage, and then we are brought into that land of promise. Don't forget today that this world is not our home. Today we are simply passing through, and that God will bring us, and Christ is coming again to call his loved ones home. Today many will be planning to make resolutions for the new year. Maybe they'll be setting personal aims and objectives of how they're going to better themselves in the year that lies ahead. Today I pray that we would renew our hearts, renew our faith, increase our strength in the Lord. Today we are fighting a battle against sin, against Satan. But remember that we are on the victor's side. Thank God for the past blessings in your life, for how he has worked for you. But then go forward. Go forward in the future promises of the Lord. Have that closer walk, that closer fellowship with the Lord, knowing that he has ordained our steps. And today, let's go forward as a church, as a congregation, praying that the Lord would do wonders among us. I pray that the Lord would write these words upon our hearts this morning. Let's just bow again in a word of